I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We are a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopXCast.
You are listening to PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental. PopXCast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This is awesome. It's good to see everybody. We have Lindsay Badger joining us from Oklahoma, and Austin Burke. Dude, welcome back. Are you okay? Are you well? I mean, how do we unpack this?
Let's go through the rundown. I had mono, and then a little bit of pneumonia on top of that. In the last week, I've had a stomach flu because for some reason my doctor didn't put me on antibiotics, so it just kept piling on, you know.
Oh, kept coming.
No pun intended on piling on.
Oh my!
Y'all don't want to know what's been going down.
We're going to save that conversation for another day.
It's not a recommended weight loss program.
No. But if you're looking for it, Austin's lost 14 pounds in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Still going, too. If I get up and run out during this podcast, you guys know why.
This show is sponsored by influenza.
All right, guys. This is welcome, everybody. This is PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us live right here on PopX.live and Geeks.live chat room. Come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXCast.com.
I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart and on the toilet. If you guys missed episode 54.
Wow.
The incredible 50 Shades of Hulk. Check out our official website at PopXCast.com for this and other great past shows from PopX.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky yoki. Be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes after the show and click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from PopXCast's archive. And hey, while you're there, we'd certainly appreciate you showing us some geeky love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review.
Absolutely. Well, and also we want to give a warm greeting to our slideshow graphic enthusiast, yeah, Mr. Mike Ippolito, all the way up from Catlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Mike.
He's hanging out. He's the mystery man. He's the man with the plan behind the screen. Every once in a while he'll come out. He's like a troll under a bridge.
He's the emperor.
You can only see him between...
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Pay no attention. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get in some news. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
All right. So, leading us off on the top of the list this week for PopX News, with the release of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 just days away, James Gunn isn't slowing his roll. Once the movie hits theaters, there's still a lot of works for Gunn to do. Not only is the director involved in the Avengers Infinity War, but his work on the third Guardians film as well will take up much of his time. In a recent interview, the director said that he would begin to work on the next Guardians film pretty soon. Gunn said, I have a little work to do on Infinity War, but I'll be going straight into it. I thought I'd share with the most important people in the Guardians verse, that would be us, the fans, who have been so incredibly supportive, enthusiastic over the past 5 years. It has moved me to tears on a regular basis. Oh, that's really cool.
That's so sweet.
So, yes, I am returning to write and direct Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. So, we haven't even seen Guardians 2 yet, but I could probably say I'm pretty, throw me in there.
Pretty
stoked. Some Volume 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's very.
I am Groot.
That's.
It would be more like this.
I am Groot.
Oh, yeah. We got Groot now. No,
you just have the fancy toys.
I love this because I think most of the time I would say, okay, well, sometimes directors, kind of like Sam Raimi and Spider-Man, well, by the time you get to the third one, you're kind of worn out and it's time to change. But with James Gunn, I think this whole thing has just spawned out of his brain, and it would be weird for him to leave this because he's the one that loves this property so much, and he's the one that took the obscurity and just shot it into pop culture, and now it is what it is because of him. So I like that he's staying on, and I like that he's involved with Avengers as well. So I think Kevin Feige is making him kind of his right-hand man in the Marvel Universe, and that's awesome.
Awesome sauce. Well, since you've got the mic, why don't you just lead us right into the next news segment there, man?
Well, let's do it, boys. They've always said the truth is out there, and today it's been uncovered. Following a ton of rumors and speculation, Fox has announced that The X-Files will once again return to its lineup for another event season. What? The show returned with a 10-episode revival last year, and Fox was happy enough with the numbers to order one more. The new 10-episode series will start production in the summer. Fox's president, David Madden, said iconic characters, rich storytelling, bold creators are hallmarks of great TV shows, and The X-Files has had such a profound impact on millions of fans worldwide, and we can't wait to see what fresh mysteries Mulder and Scully uncover in the next chapter of The X-Files. So are you guys excited for more X-Files?
Yes.
Yeah, actually I am. Yeah. I was a big fan of X-Files. The original series was kind of like a right around the time when I was in high school. So I was kind of a senior coming into a freshman in college.
Yeah.
And it was kind of that, and there was a couple other series I was watching at the time, but definitely X-Files was the top of that list. So I remember some of the storylines that they would do, and it was pretty – Area 51 was one of the biggest ones.
So, I wasn't a huge follower of X-Files, but I did catch some of the episodes, and they are pretty awesome. When I hear X-Files, I immediately think of the song, "You and Me, Baby, Ain't Nothing But Mammals." Right, because they mention the X-Files in the song, because they're going to do it while they watch X-Files together, I guess, is how that's going to work. But
good Bloodhound Gang reference, Lindsay.
Yes, good old Bloodhound Gang. Oh my gosh. Well, you guys, DC's Legends of Tomorrow has concluded its sophomore season on April 4th, and the CW has released the dates for the remainder of its superhero show finales. Superhero Girl will end its second season on May 22nd, and the final fate of Iris West will be determined as Barry Allen and Team Flash square off against Savitar in the season finale on May 23rd. I'm actually really excited about
that one.
And Oliver and Company have their final showdown with Prometheus in season 5's finale of Arrow on May 24th. What do you guys think about the Prometheus storyline? Do you feel like it's dragging a little bit, or are you excited to see it come to an end, or do you want to see some more of it?
I'm done with Bratva. I'm good.
Done with the Bratva, even though it's fun to talk about the Bratva.
I like to talk about the Bratva like I talk about breadstick, you know. It's good.
Yes. When they revealed who Prometheus was, I thought that it was kind of a shocker. But,
actually, as a matter of fact,
you guys probably already knew who it was.
Talking about Savitar, did you guys catch the episode at the ending of the episode last week where Savitar came out of his suit?
Who's the guy in the suit? I have some theories about that.
Ronnie Raymond. Raymond.
Who else would Caitlin react to that? I mean, she was like, I will do it.
If you caught it, if you froze frame it and look at the haircut at the back of his head.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's the same haircut that he has in the show.
I'm going to go back and watch it again.
He's the original Firestorm. So,
yes, the original Firestorm.
That's my theory.
That's a good theory. So, that's my theory too, man. Right. Absolutely.
Well, moving on with the news here. As production starts on The Walking Dead's next season, season 8, as it gets closer, it's creeping up with the threat of another writer's strike. The AMC series is set to begin production on its new batch of episodes on Tuesday, April the 25th, in an agreement between the Writers Guild of America and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers is not met by May 1st. The strike will begin the following day.
Uh-oh.
This will inevitably haunt production and upcoming episodes of The Walking Dead and any other show set to shoot beyond that date. Now, late-night talk shows will switch into nonstop rerun mode. Scripted dramas will also be haunted as several effects of the strike will be felt across the various media platforms. Now, we had this back in the 2000s, if you remember the writer's strike, and it actually did affect a lot of the Tonight Show, the Late Show.
It did. Lots of reruns.
And that was when it's when David Letterman actually came back from the writer's strike with the famous beard. Yeah. Everybody remembers the beard. So that was the last time we had a writer's strike. So hopefully this doesn't affect some of our most beloved shows that are filming this year, but it could affect quite a bit. So
there's a lot of rumors because they had it affected the movie industry as well. And there's a lot of rumors that even the big Marvel and DC movies are trying to rush into production because they're afraid this is going to happen with them.
Yeah, they're trying to get it done.
Yeah, trying to get it out of the way. There was even a rumor going around that they're starting the table read for Star Wars Episode 9 because of the writer's strike, which is kind of scary.
Don't rush it. Okay, it can wait.
I'll wait as long as I have to.
You know, Disney, though, when Disney sets a date,
they stick to it. They have to do it. They've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, yeah, it's a scary thing for everybody. But let's go ahead and move on. The first issue of the four-part crossover between Batman and The Flash, in which those series title characters find themselves squaring off against a mysterious force with ties to the bloodied smiley face button that appeared in the Batcave during DC Universe Rebirth number one last May, is now available. Batman and the Flash versus characters from The Watchmen. The introductory chapter didn't answer as many questions as it raised, but one thing audiences did get to see was a wide variety of visual cues and callbacks to the beloved 1980s maxi series. So what do you guys think about this news?
I think if Dr. Manhattan comes into the DC universe, well, he is a force to be reckoned with because he's immortal. Yeah. It's my understanding Dr. Manhattan is immortal. And so that could – I mean, your average superhero like Batman and Flash cannot face off against Dr. Manhattan.
He's one of the most powerful beings that never gets mentioned.
No.
Ever.
And he could
duplicate – No, he's not well-known at all, really.
Well, he can duplicate himself. He can alter time, space, matter, atoms.
Grow. I mean, it's ridiculous. He can do so much. Yeah.
Isn't there a point where you get too many superpowers where you're just not that interesting anymore?
It's a really good point you make, Lindsay, because if you think about Dr. Manhattan, he's almost like a souped-up version of Superman in a way. He just can't be defeated.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah.
It's like Superman and Incredible Hulk had a baby. That Dr. Manhattan would be his
not
child.
Fair. Yeah. And there's not a lot of Superman fans in this house. I like him okay.
All right. Yeah. Moving along here.
Well, we got a little bit more movie news for you guys. The Mississippi Grind directing team of Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck will helm Captain Marvel, starring Brie Larson for Marvel Studios. The search for Captain Marvel's director was a long one, extending well after Larson had been cast as the leading role. Marvel Studios met with several contenders before making their choice. Marvel was reportedly concerned about making the script for Captain Marvel was in good shape before choosing a director. And the studios was reportedly also looking for fresh perspectives to help grow the Marvel Cinematic Universe into its next phase, which will spotlight new characters like Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, and Black Panther. I'm liking how they're trying not to stay in the box and kind of break out a little bit and grow as we're introducing lesser known characters into a bigger pot of really well known exciting characters.
You hear that, Warner Brothers in DC?
get your ducks in a row. Come on,
Marvel is entering phase three. Into phase four of the
movie. We are moving to DEF CON 3.
And they've introduced more characters on the silver screen than you've I'm sorry, I'm turning into DC right now.
No, dude, you have every right. Isn't this very reminiscent?
A lot of people do.
What they did with the Russo brothers. I mean, they put these guys out of nowhere. And I actually went and watched Mississippi Grind because I've had a lot of free time in the last couple of weeks. And that's a very good movie. That's a very well-written movie, and it centers on characters, and that's what Captain Marvel needs. So,
well, I love it. On that cusp, keeping it in the Marvel vein, if you will, Marvel fans have agreed that Logan is a instant classic piece of filmmaking, and it's one of the best superhero movies of all time. Mm-hmm. And an appropriately epic send-off for Mr. Hugh Jackman. And not only Hugh Jackman, but somebody else that's not getting a lot of mention, Patrick Stewart. The journey is not over yet. Logan director James Mangold has revealed for a limited time, starting May 16th, the theatrical release of Logan's Black and White Edition. Now, this is going to be a cinematically altered version that is going to be chromatically shot. You heard me right, chromatically shot. The black and white version is something that fans have been asking for ever since the film production. This will be a vintage throwback to the old Western style and add new light and it almost a Sin City feel to the original
classic.
That's
perfect.
Oh, man.
It would only be Sin City if they threw in the red every time blood spewed.
I will probably throw down the money for that, I gotta say.
I know you will, because you're such a big fan of it.
I'm a huge fan.
Rightfully so. It's a decent... It's more than decently put together.
Thank you. And while we're talking about that, I do want to give myself just a quick plug if I could, because this is something that I've been working on the past week, and I'm going to show this guys with you live on this. So just bear with me for a second here as I switch over to screen two. As you can see, this is a artwork that I finished recently.
Timing too.
Yeah, I'm trying. That's perfect. It is what it is. So I don't think it's working. It's not working. No. Anyway,
come on. Yeah, right, so there it is. I see
it. I thought it was
now.
Me. There it goes. There we go.
Yeah. Can you see it?
Yes.
All right. All right, sweet. Did it leave? All right, it's gone bye-bye. If you go to berkworksart.com, you can pick up a copy of that original Logan artwork that I did. So
many hours went into that one.
Many.
And he didn't even color it, really.
Like beyond many hours.
Yes.
So I appreciate what you do with those, man. They always turn out great.
It's incredible. And
thanks,
I think this Logan one is going to be very, very awesome.
Sweet.
So,
take it away, Mr. Brown.
Let's do it. In the closing moments, like we've already talked about, of this past Tuesday's episode of The Flash, the season 3 Big Bad Savitar revealed himself to Caitlin, who is now in full Killer Frost mode since the episode has ended speculation. Since the episode has ended, speculation has run rampant across the internet on who Savitar really is. Some names have been thrown out, such as HR, Wally West,
Ronnie Raymond,
Eddie Thawn, and even, I like this one too, future Barry Allen.
I heard future Barry Allen, and that's very interesting.
That's an interesting take. 2024. Absolutely. We're talking 2024 Barry Allen, right?
Yeah, Goff Barry Allen.
Goff Allen.
Or possibly someone we wouldn't even think of. So you guys need to tune in this Tuesday as it will all be revealed. So like we've said, Ronnie Raymond, anybody?
I'm kind of on the Ronnie Raymond bandwagon just because of his haircut. When he came out, all we saw was the back of his head, and that was not Goth Barry Allen.
No.
So
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's Ronnie. I'm going to go Ronnie because that's just too on those.
Yeah. Just with the knowledge that I know that he has had some scenes back on the CW.
Okay.
I'm
pretty that makes sense.
Darn sure that that's going to be him. But I would love to be surprised if it not be him.
It's not the first time we'd be surprised if the Flash is continuing on a legacy here of just kind of dropping it, you know.
Yes.
And he got sucked into that vortex too. So he
could just spiraling blue vortex of just lightning and stuff.
A lot of lightning.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
All right, guys, we are going to one more little piece of news here, and I'm excited to announce again. May 6th will be the day comic readers have been waiting for all year. It is Free Comic Book Day. Yay. Go to freecomicbookday.com to see this year's offerings and head down to your local comic book shop for your favorites. While you're there, pick up a couple of other comic books too to support your local comic book business. You guys, if you have never, ever in your entire life been to this or never even heard of it, please, I encourage you to go. It is tons of fun. A lot of times stores will have other events going on at the same time. So it's usually a good time for all. Plus, you get free comics.
And this is very true. And some of the heavy hitters this year, DC, Image Comics, Dark Horse, and Marvel, are all releasing and starting out with their summer blockbuster
series.
They've got
lots of good titles for all interests, all ages. They have kids stuff. They have adult stuff.
And so Marvel is releasing this year a brand new story series that's going to be putting different light on Mr. Steve Rogers.
And
if you haven't had a chance to pick up Secret Empire number 0, I highly recommend it, because on Free Comic Book Day, you will get only a one shot to get issue number 1.
No!
Don't do that to me.
But
this is a really interesting story. It does kind of throw some things in there about Steve Rogers that's very questionable. And it's pretty crazy. So it'll be interesting to see how the storyline plays out. It's going to be an 8-part series. Definitely check that out, because it's going to be a summer blockbuster series for Marvel. And after that, just to let you guys know what's happening in the Marvel, not much is happening with Rebirth. I think the DC Comics is actually going to be focusing more on the crossover event with the Watchmen. So you're going to be having Batman and Flash and the Justice League kind of getting involved and discovering the whole badge thing with the Watchmen. But in terms of Marvel, Marvel is actually taking a pause after Secret Empire on all storylines across the board. And they're coming in 17 months to be releasing a brand new series called the Legacy Series, which will be coming back to the original Bruce Banner as Hulk, Thor as himself. And you're getting back into the original. It's Tony Stark as Iron Man. So the original.
Kind of getting a little bit of a reboot of everything.
Kind of. And so Legacy will be answering a lot of questions on why there's multiverses. Why is there this? Why did they have Secret Wars? Why did they have Civil War? Why did this happen? So it's definitely a series you want to keep on your radar. But having said that, I think that's officially the end of this week's news segment. And as we get ready to dive into all things Iron Fisted. I got nothing. Now listen,
you
guys,
just like to say that.
I just wanted to say Iron Fisted, but we are going to be dropping some major episode spoilers. So before we continue on with the episode, we're going to have to drop the spoiler tag. So after this plays, if you listen, it's on you and you haven't seen the episodes, okay? So we'll be right back.
You are about to enter a Pop-X spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
All right. You have been warned, ladies and gentlemen, as we dive in. This is a 13-part series, Iron Fist. It is definitely one of the most unique and different storylines of the Marvel Netflix coalition, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's right off the top of the bat, it's not one of my favorite. And so as we dive into this week, we're kind of going to discuss the pros and cons, and we'll let you be the judge your own self. So we're going to give you some takes. We're going to give you some facts about each episode as we go through this. It's going to be very straightforward. But again, if you've enjoyed Netflix, we hope you enjoy this week's take, our take, Team PopX's take on it. And hopefully you might learn something along the way about the storyline.
It might be a little snarky.
It might be a little snarky. I had two shots of coffee this morning when I wrote this. So I was pretty jacked up. So, all right. So first, episode 1, the episode title is Snow Gives Way. And so the first episode, how was it? It wasn't bad. It's certainly a slower lead in to most of the other shows, especially shows like Daredevil and Jessica Jones, which seem to kind of hit the ground running on the first episode. This show seems to be aiming at more of a meandering pace, if you will, slowly setting up mysteries and characters one at a time. It kind of felt to me like a lingering soap opera of rich, pretty people plotting to steal the family riches of other families and having their riches as well.
And is this the Kardashians?
It sounds like, and I could just see as like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. awkward silence moment. But fight scenes were certainly interesting. I enjoyed the first fight scene with the guards, because Danny is clearly not trying to hurt any of them, and I liked that way he was able to actually he pressed the elevator button with his foot. That's kind of cool. The other fights were just okay. I enjoyed him listening to an old school iPod. I thought that was kind of cool because his plane crashed in 2002, which means that would have been periodically correct for the device.
Okay.
I was wondering.
I enjoyed
kind
him.
Kind of showing.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a nice touch, and his flight would have actually crashed in 2002, but choosing to end the episode on a shot of an iPod playing music, a little weird. It was a little weird. I didn't get that. As we roll in, so episode one was basically Danny comes back to New York, and he kind of figures out that, oh, well, this is my company. I think I'm going to own it again, and he's very naive to the whole thing, and I think the fact that he's been exiled for 15 years, he's not very socially adequate, and that kind of plays out a little bit because Danny's kind of a...
And he hasn't had any access to any technology or news of any kind,
He's a little special.
Storyline.
So episode two basically kind of takes off as Shadowhawk takes flight. And this is so I'm beginning to see kind of the upsides and the downsides of Iron Fist. The upsides are all of the supporting characters, which the acting in this is brilliant. I couldn't say more about the actors. From the awesome Colleen Wing talking to her students on the class outing where they were trying to fight her and Ward Meacham, being just the most incredibly squirrely person ever, to Harold Meacham playing the alongside the knife edge of maybe, is he evil? Is he good? Is he pro hand? Is he pro gal? Is he what the heck's going on with him? So you can't figure that out. Maybe good. I don't know. So I mean, as soon as hears that Danny is the sworn enemy of the hand, he wants to help keep Danny safe. So which means that he is against the hand, I guess, maybe. And his drugged interrogation of Danny was pretty creepy, as well as the most mysterious "where did you go" message. The downside of Iron Fist, well, the Iron Fist himself, Danny, he's kind of a turd. I mean, sure, he's naive. He hasn't been back in civilization for 15 years, like I said, but that doesn't mean he should be stupid. I mean, coyly saying that he trained in Kunlun, it's fine. That's fine. All right, let's move past that. All right. So he's training Kunlun for 15 years. He's been beaten on the back with bamboo rods, whatever.
Got it.
Telling your psychiatrist, who is in charge of pretty much telling if you are sane or insane, that Kunlun is another dimension, only accessible every 15 years. And now Danny has the power to focus his chi into his fist and just punch the crap out of everything and just plain dumb. So why would you tell that to a guy?
Perfectly sane. Yeah. Perfectly safe.
Yeah, this is a great civilian in society.
We're the perfect leader for a company.
So I couldn't understand it. Why would you be so honest and naive and tell the guy who is literally holding the fate of your life in his hands that there's this mystical place? You kind of sound like a fruitcake, but I'm just saying. So that leads us into episode three. Now, this one is called Rolling Thunder Cannon Punch. I know, right?
These titles are just killing me.
Just chocolate covered goat turd. If you
that's great.
Yes, but now that's kind of, you know, this is one of the best episodes in the series.
I agree.
The mysteries kind of become deeper. The characterizations become better, and Danny actually gets to do something proactive for once. That proactive thing is finding Jerry Hogarth. Remember Hogarth from Daredevil?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To represent him, and she is possibly the saving grace of the show and this particular episode, because Carrie Ann Moss is being awesome, and Laurie makes everything just so much better. She is a freaking awesome actress. Oh, yeah. So I didn't even mind the scene where they exchanged their offers, because it served a point. In fact, everything in the episode is pretty much served a point. Mm-hmm. Unlike previous episodes, which were filled with random side characters that were pretty much give Danny someone to talk to, like a homeless guy from episode one and the crazy guy who got shot and killed in episode two. Really weird characters that come into his life and are just gone 15 minutes later. So Jerry is someone that believes Danny is who he says he is, and he's on his side and is completely practical. In any case, although This also had to be one of the better fight scenes where Danny uses his iron fist to break a guy's brass knuckles. And we're talking hand to hand, and he broke his hand and his knuckles in one punch. That was pretty awesome. That was a good effect right
there. That was cool.
It was great.
And then the episode ends with a nice cliffhanger of him almost learning that Harold Meacham was alive, but then falling from a building. Dun, 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 dun. So that leads us into Mr. Episode 4 and Austin Buck.
Guess we'll never know what happens. Just kidding. It's my turn. So Episode 4, 8 Diagram Dragon Palm. These names. I mean,
yes.
These names.
Square Bob Ross Squirrel.
They just went to a room. They're like, you, and you say a word and we'll make a title. Somebody's like, 8 Diagram Dragon Palm. It's ridiculous.
Peppermint mocha ice latte. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's how Starbucks does it. I like that. So well, guys. This show appears to be getting on a pretty good learning curve. It's gotten past the whole nothing happens portion and well into the whole more mysteries, more characterization, and more fights portion, because this is where Netflix starts to use the budget a little bit more. specifically, it's crazy.
Yay,
they have a
for
budget.
Special effect.
Yay for Netflix. Specifically, yay! This episode.
Sorry.
Getting you those fancy toys again.
That freak, we got a higher budget than they do.
I know. Jeez. Man, serious.
But guys, this is the episode with the patented Netflix Marvel hallway fight.
Yes.
And while it's not as good as Daredevil season one, like nothing is, it's pretty good. Notably, it's something we haven't seen before. Danny versus a hallway full of hatchet men. The fight itself was pretty inventive, especially when it entered into the small enclosed elevator. And I really like when Danny summoned his iron fist again, special effects, right? They're going to use it just so the hatchet would shatter against his hand. And that was a really cool shot. It's revealed that Harold Meacham himself is a member of the Hand and kills the man who hit Joy. That was a nice twist, especially after we saw his happiness at finally getting to see his daughter after so long. In other news, the last scene wasn't as powerful as the show thinks, because the pale, hairless chest of Danny was kind of weak. Okay.
Can we look at Zach Morris's chest from Saved by the Bell?
No. Screech.
What? Okay. How does Chris Pratt go on a big diet, lose a bunch of weight, and look like freaking Chris Evans? But this guy... just what scrawn? That's like me going out there and being the Iron Fist. It's like,
maybe
I don't know.
Maybe you are the Iron Fist, Austin.
That's what you can do for Halloween.
Yeah. Hell white Jeff. I could be the Iron Fist. Well, I keep losing weight.
The dragon like tattoo would definitely show up on your chest. I could tell.
That would be cool. Yeah. That would be really cool.
Nice contrast.
Oh, my God. You're right. But he just looks weak. You know what I mean? And we already know that Gao was behind this. Did we really need a cliffhanger involving the steel serpent symbol? I mean, is that like they think they're leaving us on the edge? Ooh, wait for next episode. First of all, it's Netflix. You can just click on the next episode.
Binge watching.
I don't know why they have these huge cliffhangers in these binge watch worthy shows.
Yeah.
And second of all, no, we all know what's going on.
Can we just put this all in one movie and call it chapters at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Who wrote this?
I think Austin might need to refresh here. I think he's a little
scratchy in the interweb tubes there.
He's a little inebriated at the
y'all,
moment.
I don't know what happened. I went on a rant and I looked up and y'all weren't there.
You know
I
what?
It's okay.
I took
we're
my
here.
Clothes off. I put them back on.
You know, the Marvel gods are listening right now. They're not liking this one bit. They are exercising your demons. So get
they saw that Rotten Tomato score and they said, no, sir, you all
are that just sucks.
But I went on into the next name choosing process. You guys ready? Episode 5. Under, Leaf, Pluck, Loteth. Okay. That's the next episode.
Harry so Duck now, Ball Surfer.
Sorry. He's turned into a spoof.
I'm sorry, Austin.
You'll make you cry.
Hey, but on the bright side, guys, one of our favorite characters. Claire's here.
Yeah. Oh,
I love Claire, especially since Danny showed
nurse.
Up. She's awesome. I mean, and when he showed up to have an unexpected dinner with Colleen, Claire saw how uncomfortable Colleen was and just invited herself there to stay, which, let's face it, that's pretty cool.
Awkward.
It was a little weird, but I like Claire. I can get over that. It was a little awkward. But in other news, I can see why some critics didn't like the corporate stuff again, but it's still not taking up that much space for me, and I'm sure you guys as well. And it's giving us a lot more depth to both Joy, who is a ruthless businesswoman and still kind of sympathetic, and Ward, who is still slimy, but we know, you know, the daddy issues thing, whatever.
Lots of daddy issues.
I mean, everybody got daddy issues. But also, I love Ward just flipping off this entire office. His dad's pilot. I think that's great. This is also the episode where the main plot kind of comes into focus. Finally, after 5 freaking episodes, the Hand is using the mystery pier to ship drugs in and out of the city. Danny and Colleen go there to find evidence. Danny gets locked into one of the trucks. Cool fight scene ensues, but one of the chemists is stabbed and they need night nurse Claire to help, which, yay, of course, she's awesome. But more Claire is always better. I'm glad Madame Gao is the big bad. But again, forgive me if I'm wrong. She wasn't originally part of the Hand, was she, you guys?
I don't think so. She never really said that she was part of the Hand, even in Daredevil season 1.
Yeah, so this was kind of a reveal, but not a reveal, you know what I mean? In Daredevil season 1, it was Nobu who was the Hand's representative, and Gao represented the interests of China. Or something, China. Right? China, you know?
China.
And she didn't appear in Daredevil season 2 except for one scene where she actually helped Matt. So, like, I don't know. So did she just decide to switch sides, or was she always a member of the Hand? It's kind of like they didn't think this out very well.
I think she's on her own side.
She might be working for herself, but so you're saying, I like the fact that she's the big bad. But
so you're saying she's like General Dooku from Star Wars trilogy. You never really know. Is he a good guy? Yeah. Is he a bad
guy? That's a great pull.
Never know.
That's a great pull. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's just, I mean, this is kind of comes back to the writing of Iron Fist. It's one of the weaker points of the entire series. Yeah. So let's move on to episode 6. Ready? Immortal emerges from cave. Oh, that one kind of makes sense.
That one does make, yeah.
That one makes sense. Wow. Immortal emerges from, and it kind of ties in as well. So I like.
Don't
is
squeeze
this the
Easter
TP. Episode? This sounds like the Easter episode.
This is the Easter episode.
Bare bottom anus buddies.
I didn't even.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, please forgive Joseph. Oh, as we speak,
I'm so sorry for that. Right there.
Oh, y'all ain't right. Now, this is what Iron Fist should have been from the beginning. This is episode 6. This is when the tide begins to turn. Sorry. This is when the tide's not a turd anymore.
Oh, gosh, everybody's on NyQuil tonight, I think.
It's an awesome, awesome show involving inventive fights, interesting Eastern philosophy, and loads of comic book mythology.
Loads.
It's weird. Loads. Lots of loads. It's weird that they introduced a voice in Danny's head, you know, which I took to be like the Lee Kung of the Thunderer only in the 6th episode. But it really worked, and it helped us as the audience understand Danny and his training better. And those fights were super awesome. RZA, who coincidentally directed a movie called The Man with Iron Fists, managed to make some pretty inventive fights, more so because each fight was different, and I like that. And that's something that most of the other shows didn't really bring as well. So, it goes in and out of, okay, that fight was cool. That fight kind of looked choreographed. That fight used special effects, so that was great. But they can only use these things sparingly because it's probably a little bit of budget to make them Iron Fists. Mm-hmm. So I understand what they were doing there. But I recognized the Bride of Nine Spiders immediately, although here she wasn't the immortal weapon that she was in the comics, but rather an assassin that used spider venom, which I guess Danny can just apparently shrug off because that's what he did in the episode. But also apparently his third fight was against an Iron Fist villain called Scythe, which was pretty cool. Also, Scythe singing Take On Me was a really good part of the episode, probably my favorite. As for the other plot lines, Ward continues his descent into drug addiction, and Claire and Colleen continue to kick some arse and take some names. So the side stories in this episode begin to appeal to me more than they have in the previous episodes. Yeah. And I think what the critics were doing, because they watched episodes 1 through 6, they decided to review this series. They didn't watch the rest of the episodes. That's not fair, because six, it starts to pick up.
Well, the studio only sent the critics six episodes.
Why would you do that?
I know.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Why would you?
I don't even know.
Yeah. And
all right. Well, for now on, you know, the critics didn't get to see these till after it was released, so we just get to carry it on. All right, episode 7, Feeling Tree with Roots.
That one's okay.
That's what all she said.
Huh? Yes. Don't feel my tree with roots.
Feel roots.
Yes. All right. So the pre-credit scene not only included another cool fight scene, but also Harold Meacham cutting off his own pinky.
Ugh.
Well, isn't that special? Harold is awesome, which makes the end of this episode all the sadder. But for now, this episode continues the upward trend of Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good as the last episode, but still pretty darn good. Madame Gao is casually walking into Danny's office and talking about Feng Shui as a pretty
damn awesome.
Yeah. And her casually tempting Danny into just not fighting. Then
mm-hmm.
the fact that she had a secret office on the 13th floor, which was nicely foreshadowed earlier in the season by having all of the heroin reps walking into Rand building as Danny was leaving it. Nice. All right. Not so nice was the Danny and Colleen sex scene.
And I'm sorry, Lindsay Badger, I had to put this episode
on
you.
You did. Yeah. That's okay, though,
that's okay.
Because, you know, it's Netflix and Marvel. We got to have sex in it, I guess. Of course. Who's going to watch it if there's no sex in it?
Not me.
I mean, it was fine. It wasn't really necessary. It was the first time that they had even kissed, and then they had sex. And honestly, was romance really needed? No. On the first kiss? No. All right.
No.
We had to have it in there somehow, though.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Karen Page is name dropped, and Danny decides to shutter the plants and may be causing cancer. And the board kicks him and the Meachums off. They all get fired. They all get the boot. Except Danny. Doesn't Danny hold 51% of the stock in the company? And that means they can't kick him off. But, you know, those are mere details that nobody needs to remember because, you know, Marvel. All right, so then we move into episode 8, The Blessing of Many Fractures. The titles are getting a little better, you guys.
Yeah.
A little better.
I like that.
All right. Well, this was a weird one. I mean, Kevin,
Chantatorian.
Thank you. Did manage to include one of the very, very best and most unique fight scenes in the entire show. But other than that, it's weird. Okay, first, Danny decides that he has to go to China, specifically the city of Anzhou, where his family was going before the plane crashed. That's not weird at all, because that's where, conveniently, the hand plant was, and he thinks his father was going there to shut it down, and then the hand caused their plane to crash because of it. And then he says he's going to capture and or kill Madame Gao. But see, a few episodes ago, he couldn't even touch Madame Gao. She tossed him aside without even touching him. So how in the good Lord's name is he going to pull that off? All right. I am the Iron Fist is basically Danny's answer to everything. Because I am Batman, essentially, is, you know, how that works out for him, too.
Yeah.
All right. Hell, Claire asks a lot of honest-to-good questions like, what's your plan? And he gets a little pissy because he can't think of a good reason why. So his answer is, I'll think of it on the plane. And then on the plane, he's all, I have complete control over my emotions. And then 10 seconds later, he's having a panic attack. he's a little special.
I'm sorry. I'm turning into this show. I'm so sorry.
You're tearing it apart, but it's okay.
It's
all good. And then they arrived in China, and China looks like a random warehouse in New York City. Because, you know, all of China is a warehouse, apparently.
In New York City.
All right, then. But then Danny has the single best fight ever with Zha Jin, the protector. The protector of the hand, who is pretty much stayed drunk all the time, because otherwise his dragon will get loose and bad things will happen. I seriously LOL'd out loud, like literally out loud whenever he said that. It was just ridiculous.
That's what she said. Go
ahead. Yes. The fight itself is hilarious, especially when he's spouting off throughout how they really aren't that different. And then Danny realizes that Gao did kill his parents and manages to capture her because she didn't fight back.
Yeah.
But why? Why didn't she fight back? I have no idea. She can easily toss him aside, but she didn't. But whatever. So she like wanted to get captured, I suppose. Yeah. Who knows?
She likes submission. Yeah.
She likes to play that way.
She took the gray effect.
She's into playing.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're moving into episode 9. The Mistress of All Agonies.
Mm.
Is that Mistress Gao? Could it be the Night Nurse? Who knows?
Mm.
It could be many people. Harold is back, people. Yes, our favorite crazy dude locked away is back. All right. As is Kyle, his assistant. Okay, Kyle was a little weird to me. You guys.
Yeah, he was awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, it's not so good for him at the end, but still, yay. In fact, the entire episode was pretty good, despite the fact that I'm really, really tired of the whole we captured the villain, but they actually are manipulating us trope. They did it in Avengers and Skyfall, and they did it in both seasons of Legends of Tomorrow and blah, blah, blah. They do it all over the place.
That's true.
It's just all over the place. It's crazy. However.
You're welcome.
Yes. However, we did manage to get some answers if Gao wasn't lying, which she might have been, because you can never trust a crazy old Asian lady that got captured on purpose.
And sends heroin throughout the entire world from a random drug port in New York City.
Yes, she's totally completely evil all the way through.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
But she could tell the truth. You know, it's whatever. I did like that they went to all the trouble of getting the truth serum, and Gao just like pretends to go along with it and says, I spent most of the 17th century getting tortured, so FYI, this is no big deal, you guys. Claire was good in this episode, though I didn't like Gao saying that she wanted to be special, hoping that the other's specialness would rub off on her. I thought that was hilarious, by the way. And hey, she also helped Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Although, true. I guess nobody but Jessica knows that. Also
true.
Harold meets Joy, finally. And I just love Joy's facial expression as Harold hugs her. And he's super creepy. And her face just keeps going, what the heck is going on here,
Are you my daddy? Are you my daddy? You dead. What's wrong?
My daddy dead.
My daddy died. Who the heck are you?
You're not my dad.
Oh, come here, baby. Let me give you a
hug. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's so weird, though. I mean, you know, this guy secretly, obviously, you all know the story of Harold Meacham, right? If he dies, he comes back, but a little part of his soul dies each time he comes back, so he's not himself.
Right, he's a little off the rails.
So we're up to the second time he's died at this point. He's already died twice at this point.
Okay.
So you may recall that. You know, remember his first death? Remember his first death?
Yes.
He got sick, and then the hand came in.
Cancer.
Cancer.
Oh, okay.
And then the hand came in, gave him this serum, if you will, and gave him the blessing of immortality.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the second time was Ward
kind of like a Ra's al Ghul.
Buried him in the swamp,
and he buried him in the swamp. Cool. Yep. But when he came back, it was just like he was talking like a caveman. Me, meet him, go, ran, find, ran, me. It was so weird. I'm sorry. I keep ripping this show into a thousand pieces, but it's
we're just gonna piece it all back together at the end. It's okay. Keep tearing it up.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so episode 10. Episode 10 is Black Tiger Steals Heart. Well, I guess I was right the first time. Colleen works, or rather worked, for Hand. We kind of figured that out. Also, Davis is right. Danny is the worst Iron Fist ever. Probably, yeah. He's kind of like I don't even want to go in there. Man, this episode, it was good. It was really good. And I always enjoy those. The players in this game aren't who you think they are episodes. I love those kind of episodes. And the one that presents a twist to the whole normal, who is good and who is bad? So we're kind of questioning now, is Gal really bad? Is Gal in lines with the Hand? Is Gal in lines with no one? So it was really interesting to hear that. And to be clear, the only person who ever said that Madame Gal was a part of the Hand was Harold Meacham. Okay, so who clearly has his own agenda, as we all have known and seen.
He's a little crazy.
A little cray-cray. So to learn that she actually wasn't a part of the Hand, or rather she was the head of the Splinter Group. Now, you might remember the Splinter Group from Daredevil. Makes complete sense, especially with what we known about her from Daredevil and how she was completely willing to give Daredevil information about the Hand's dealings. Remember that? So when Danny learns this and confronts Colleen, that is some of Finn Jones's best acting, period. That's about it. So his feelings of betrayal are palpable. And of course, he then goes and messes it up by finding the Hand's surveillance and networking and throwing a tantrum. Seriously, Danny, why are you throwing a tantrum? Get a grip, man. So I can control my emotions. It goes back to what Lindsay said. I can control my emotions.
Rage.
So
I don't get it.
In subplots, Harold tells Joey almost everything, but instead of Gal, he's now under the thumb of Bakota. He also kills that guy who ousted the Meachums and arranges for it to look like a suicide. The only part of the episode that I didn't like was Colleen letting Danny go. I mean, I understand why. It's just a cliche of hero turns the girl who works for the villain into a good person through the power of love. That is so freaking cliche. I mean, let me strike a chord from the wonderful songs of As the World Turns, So Are the Days of Our Lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Austin, tell us about episode 11.
Let's get into episode 11. Lead horse back to stable. And it seems like I keep getting the episode where Claire's back. Claire's back. Claire plus Davis plus pizza equals win, which brings up an interesting point. In a lot of respects, in this episode, Davis acts more like a jealous boyfriend than he does a betrayed friend. I mean, sure, he calls Danny his brother, but he appears jealous that Danny left not just Kun Loon, but also him especially. And then the last scene where he sees Danny and Colleen hugging, he just looks like he feels super betrayed. Sure, in context, it's probably because he knows Colleen is the one that's keeping Danny in New York, despite Danny leaving for New York before even knowing Colleen. But it really comes across as if Danny and Davis were in a relationship and then Danny left. And now Davis is just jealous of his new girlfriend. The whole dynamic to me was just on and off through the entire series. And I don't really know how I bought.
There were some secret Iron Fisting.
Oh my god!
I'm so sorry, Austin. Let's turn it back on the rails here, shall we?
Y'all ain't right. Yeah, y'all ain't right. Oh my god. Meanwhile, Harold continues, speaking of super creepy, being super creepy, and it looks like Joy is finally realizing that he is super creepy. We've been saying the entire time.
We're talking Pee Wee Herman in the back of the theater, super creepy.
Daddy?
Creepy. Oh my god. But they shut down the Hand's bank accounts, so the Hand should be coming after Harold pretty soon. Overall, the episode was, I mean, the dynamics were just weird to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't a terrible episode, but it's just, I don't know, relationships. They're not.
Why don't they just come out and say it? Why don't they just come out and say that Davis and Danny were in a relationship and just quit alluding to the fact? And
It's like they don't want to take the leap. You know
Davis
what I mean?
Davis was pointless for showing up, by the way.
And that was pointless scripting. It was a pointless scripting because they should have actually focused on what happened in the backstory, which we have no backstory. We have 15, no. We have 15 years we don't even know about.
We have the flashbacks to the same scenes of random monks.
Well, and then we have the flashbacks of the plane crash, which we have seen like thousands of times.
Oh my gosh, the flashbacks were so repetitive. It's like stupid.
All right, mm-hmm. Lindsay, tell us about 12.
Now we go into 12. All right, Bar the Big Boss. All right, this isn't about leaving Kunlun. This is because I left you. Oh, good Lord. This is silly. All right. This episode was just all about how Danny and Davos loved each other. And then Danny left and now has a new girlfriend. And Davos is angry at him. This is just a bunch of middle school dramas with this issue, guys. All right. At the end of the episode, Danny says that the stuff with Davos got ugly and he doesn't want the same thing to happen with Colleen. Oh, Lord. How is this not intentional?
It got ugly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning. Ward is having hallucinations of his father, which are genuinely terrifying. Like, give all the awards to David Wenham because he so easily go from pretty or too petty to hilarious to goddamn horrifying. All right. Ward is let out from his hospital so he can lead them to Harold. Although, wouldn't Bakuda already know where he was? Because he's part of the hand. All right. And then he made a trap for Danny. And Danny, of course, runs straight towards the trap because Bakuto shoots Joy.
Like a chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah. And threatens to behead Harold. And because that's the only way to genuinely kill this crazy zombie dude is to behead him. Danny goes, gives himself up, and then we get an awesome, again, hallway fight outside of the elevator, where we get a cool split screen between Davos fighting his hand ninja and Colleen fighting her hand ninja. So we get like double ninja fight scene.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
All right, hold on. All right. And then we get rid of, when we get rid of their opponents, Bakuto runs outside into the rain. And of course, we finally get the battle in the rain. Yes.
Yay. Rain battle. Yay.
Even better? It's a battle not with Danny, but between Bakuto and Colleen. And thankfully, Davos holds Danny back. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's holding Danny. Holds Danny back so he can't interfere. Because so help me, if Danny saved Colleen from Bakuto, it would be super cheesy. But no, Colleen saves herself, who has the awesome sword fight in the rain and uses her broken katana to stab Bakuto. That was a pretty cool fight scene, by the way, you guys. And then, of course, can't kill him because blah, blah, heroes don't kill, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Joe, that's hilarious.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This show troll people expecting something like Luke Cage, where the main villain was killed by a family member and replaced by someone else in the middle of the season. In Iron Fist, Harold was killed by Ward in the middle of the season. And then a few episodes later, he comes back to life.
Yeah.
Yep. Even though the show was super slow in the beginning, it essentially sidestepped the Marvel Netflix second half slump.
And that's true.
Now on to the finale.
That's a good point.
All right. So here we are, my friends. Episode 13. And after this, we will actually do a little short commentary about Iron Fist. So this is Dragon Plays with Fire. Well, that was a slight letdown from the previous episode's awesomeness. It turns out that the climax of the episode was another cliche, a shootout fight on a smoky rooftop where bad guys just come right out and just confess. Might as well just put caps in those guns, guys. That's stupid. So I also love how Claire basically lays out the fact that Danny is so jacked up because of the plane crash and his survivor's guilt, and he really needs therapy.
True.
You got a 15-year-old unsocialized individual running around
New York.
My mama
died. She got out of the plane.
My mama didn't make me waffle. But anyway, I mean, like, she basically says all those heroes she meets need therapy. You know, she kind of says that, which I think means that she would definitely get a Defenders episode where they have a big group therapy session. Would that be kind of cool?
Oh, gosh. I want to
see cool.
That. Can that be like a cut scene or something?
So yeah. It would be awesome, though. The ending of the episode was a definite highlight, too, as we see Ward making a smart decision for once and cremating his father's remains instead of beheading this crazy zombified individual.
Kill that bastard.
Kill him, burn him, get rid of him.
Burn him.
So, which is a nice way to make sure someone who always comes back from the dead, well, you know, doesn't. So, and we get to see Davis again, which is kind of nice. Hey there, Danny.
Who is apparently
working for Gal? What? Yay!
I know
Davis becomes the Steel Serpent, and Gal is using the Steel Serpent symbol on her heroin packets, but somehow I didn't see the connection that would work together until right then. I just don't understand. The only part I didn't buy was Davis convincing Joey and Danny that they needed to die. I mean, heck, it was Harold framing Danny that convinced Joy that Harold was evil. My God, just listening to myself talk about this, it's freaking convincing. It's not, actually. Joy believes that Danny is good, and I don't think Davis would have been able to convince her otherwise. And then there's the ending. Mm-hmm. Danny tries to return to Kun Lun with Colleen, but finds a bunch of dead hand soldiers and no Kun Lun to be found in sight. Which, I mean, okay, sort of interesting, I guess. A nice cliffhanger type thing. It's okay, which may or may not be resolved.
Oh, he got all emotional again. I should have never left.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
it's a cycle.
Yeah.
It's just a big cycle.
Where's my Willy Wonka?
Should have never left.
Which these issues may or may not be resolved if Netflix doesn't sign up for a season two of Iron Fist. So if there is one, I don't think there may be one true scene in this episode, though. And so that's the scene where Jerry, there is one true episode. And that's what I'm talking about. That's where Jerry Hogarth tells Danny that he proved he was framed, and he can prove that. And he makes a generous donation to the DEA, widows, and pension fund. And then he is thus cleared of all charges, even assault, which he did do. Now, let me stop here for a second. Okay.
Wow.
Billionaire philanthropist, 15-year-old guy who is, I am Iron Fist. He goes out and he just beats the crap out of everybody he wants to because he's wanting to try to get vengeance on people that try to destroy Kun Lun and all this stuff and Madame Gal and Davis hates me. He won't let me love him anymore. And what the heck is going on? While Luke Cage rots in prison for something he definitely did not do, okay, Danny is a free man because, of course, he's a white billionaire.
I said it.
I mean, man, I can't wait to see how Danny and Luke Cage's friendship pans out in Defenders. I hope it's good. And I hope Luke Cage
gets it's gonna be great.
I hope Luke Cage be like, billionaire, boom. You know, something like that.
Man, you tell you what, you did. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, so I guess the big mystery here is, where did the assistant's Kyle body go?
Probably ate him.
I mean,
buried him in the swamp.
Did you notice that he was in the window of the biodome thing that was around Harold Meacham's apartment? And he put him in that little window thing with a little like moisture and the plants and the botanicals and everything.
That's a great question.
Where'd he go?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that was
that assistant was creepy. He was like the creepiest of all.
So. Basically, if MTV Real World combined with Marvel's Netflix, and this is basically what you would get. You would get Danny Rand running around New York trying to figure things out and screaming at everybody he come across.
Uh-huh. Yep.
MTV Real World, the Netflix Marvel edition.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Danny Rand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Angry teenager kid that never was a teenager.
You took my childhood.
You're my daddy. Anyway, so in its closing thoughts, Austin Burke, what are your closing thoughts on Iron Fist and your overall review and rating?
Oh, dude. I mean, this has been very insightful because I have thought.
Thank you.
I've thought about this show so much more than I actually did when I first finished it. And I think the problem with this show, the enemy of Iron Fist is actually the writing. I think the writing was just lackluster, and it didn't provide to this show what it did for, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and Luke Cage for the first six or seven episodes. It didn't. And I think the first six episodes of Luke Cage are the best six episodes of any Marvel series. But the problem with that is the writing dropped off towards the end. Well, with Iron Fist, the writing picked up, but it still never hit that level that I wanted it to hit. And I think going over all of these plot details and these questions that we're left with, and just the fact that Danny Rand, Iron Fist, is just, he's such a, and I don't know if it's the actor or I don't know if it's the character, but something was wrong here. Marvel went about this the wrong way. And while this show isn't terrible by any means, there's a lot of stuff to like. There's some great action scenes. There's some awesome CGI when they decide to use the budget on it, which I understand that they can't because it's probably really expensive to glow somebody's fists. I mean, you don't see me doing it in my YouTube videos, and there's a reason why. but I just think there's so many dynamic problems. And Joe, your writing with all of these wonderful points that you brought up, just it's making me question whether or not I should give it the grade that I was going to give it. Because when we started this, I was going to go six, and six is a fresh score. Six is like, okay, if it was Rotten Tomatoes, it would go towards the positive side. But now I'm considering giving it a 5.5, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to stick with a six. I'm going to go back. I'm going to rewatch some of the stuff that that we talked about tonight. And I'm going to consider going down to a 5.5 because there was stuff to like, but I don't know if it's good enough to make this something that I can say is a good show. So I'm going to say six right now.
All right.
Okay.
Lindsay Badger, your thoughts quickly.
Okay. Overall, I think it wasn't a horrible show. It was good.
No.
It was definitely something that you should watch to, you know, complete the storyline if you're going to be looking forward to the Defenders, for sure. I think Claire, I'm a huge fan of Claire, but I think Claire's character was a little overzealous in this series. I didn't like her trying to take on a hero role instead of a hero support role where she really fits her niche and is really shining. She kind of tries to take on her own superhero thing, which I think Miss Gal kind of put her in her place with.
Well, let's not forget the Iron Fist she put on. Like, oh, look at these magical Iron Fists I want to have to battle. Yes. Were they just like so conveniently placed there?
I didn't really like her trying to push that envelope into the out of the sidekick role, I suppose, is what that would be. I did like the references back to Luke Cage and the other series. I love how they always tie those series back together. Ward, overall, the entire series, he is my favorite character because he grows. His character is dynamic. He starts at the beginning as being the most putrid asshole you've ever met in your life. Mm-hmm. And you want him to be the villain so bad so that you can kill him off in the end. But then at the end, he actually does have a heart that grows three sizes and breaks the mold. And actually, you know, even with all of his daddy issues, you end up liking the guy in the end. And so he's probably my most shining character of the entire series, which means it's not the Meacham series. It's the Iron Fist series. And that means that the Iron Fist character really fell short for me. So I would probably stick really close to a six on my rating well. I hope that if they do a season two, that they get their act together and kind of dive more into the character.
Okay. So my closing thoughts, and as the baton is passed to me, Austin and Lindsay, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about it. Honestly, I think the only problem with Iron Fist is Iron Fist itself. When you go back and you look at the writing of Danny Rand, let's step back previously to Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones. We have superheroes here with dynamic lifestyles whose character contrasts are vividly shown in no filters whatsoever in raw form. Jessica Jones and the Luke Cage scenes and stuff and how they interact. And even to Daredevil and the Punisher, with Punisher chaining Daredevil to the top of a roof on a chimney. I mean, that is raw. That is something you can believe. I think, honestly, with the Meacham and Ward, that was probably the highlight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
For me. And Madame Gao is probably
those were the strong characters. Their secondary characters overpowered their main character.
Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, Danny Rand should have been brought more towards the limelight and as not a, I don't want to say cynical, but as a angry teenage minded individual who wants to get revenge and just naively goes into every battle without every thinking thing through very considerately, he should, you know, a true warrior. It doesn't matter if you're raised in Kung Lung for 15 years or what. You think about the battle before you enter into the battle. Mm-hmm. And they're the writing.
I want to see more fists.
Well, the writing here is not lining up with the actual series.
Yeah.
We have a warrior who's been trained for 15 years in the arts of the iron, and he becomes the Iron Fist. And when he goes into battle, he doesn't even think about what he's going in. He just naively goes into everything because he's, I am Iron Fist. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, I have a huge problem with that. So for me, I'm going to probably give this an easy 5.9. I got to come down one notch from my original rating at 6 and give it a 5.9.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm leaving it. Yeah.
And we're done. I like
it. That's good.
Old. I like it.
So
there was a whole lot more chi alignment than fighting for that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I mean, honestly, I think I said it best. It's basically Marvel's Netflix meets MTV or Real World.
Yeah.
Can I say something else though? I think a lot of people were saying the whitewashing was a problem with this show. I don't think that's
right. Oh, that didn't bother me too much.
I don't think that was the problem at all, because if you look at it, Danny Rand is white. I mean, as what he is. So there's no whitewashing involved.
It fit for the storyline. It fit for the storyline.
I don't think
it's
that
just
was
like and Cage was so heavy into, you know, the urban, because that's what his story
is. Absolutely. So
it so makes
I don't think
sense.
That's a
no.
Yeah. Well, agreed. I mean, you think of Tony Stark as well. I mean, he's a billionaire, so he can do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
So I don't even want to go down that road. We have a diverse intersection of ethical people that are part of this Marvel Cinematic Universe. So.
Yes.
But, all right, so let's close this thing up, shall we? And as always, if you see something exciting on the shelves or at your local comic book shop or in the theater and around geek culture in general, let us know on social media using our hashtag YoPopX. Now, we actually had a couple of YoPopXs come through the feed this week.
Yeah.
Lindsay Badger and I actually acquired a really cool video game, Mario Kart 8.
Mario Kart is the bomb. Diggity, if you guys haven't, check it out.
If you have a Switch, add Lindsay and myself, and we'll play you on the next round battle, okay?
We will. But, we will throw down.
If you have a hashtag, you can use our hashtag YoPopX on a future episode, and we'll use it right here. And apologies for not getting a couple images pulled for this week on that, but it's all good in the hood.
It's all good, baby. And we are also part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts from our home network.
That's right. And make sure to follow us on the social medias. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest, all at PopXCast. We love to hear from our listeners. Make sure you send all those comments and suggestions to popxcast@gmail.com. And for future and past shows, make sure to check out our official website, www.popxcast.com.
I am Austin Burke at the Burkinator on the Instagram and the Twits. I am Austin Burke on YouTube, and you guys can add me on MySpace. I'll make you my number one friend.
Aww.
Sorry.
Tom's my number one friend.
Tom, what a man.
Lindsay Badger.
I'm sorry. Oh, sorry.
That's sorry,
I was trying to say. All right. I'm Lindsay Badger. You can find me at LR Badger all over the interwebs.
All right, LR Badger. And I am Joe Burke. And I cannot apologize for this week's unfiltered segment of Iron Fisted.
I loved it.
And of course, hats off to amazing Team PopX, Lindsay Badger, for sharing us on the social media like a venereal disease of mononucleosis. Yes.
Oh, you know.
There's a lot going on there.
It's trending.
And I want to give a huge hats off to Mr. Austin Burke for joining us this week as well. I hope, Austin, you feel better and you make a full and speedy recovery. And Mr. Mike Ippolito joining us all the way up in Atlanta, Georgia. Mike, thank you so much for the slides and graphic love. Oh snap.
Look at that. It's Star Lord. Star Lord right there.
So remember, guys, PopX is bi-weekly, and so please join us in 2 weeks as we, you guessed it, talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. We are so uber excited to see this movie, and it's getting rave reviews already in Europe. And look at that graphic. Oh, yeah. You'll be seeing that graphic come out on social media later tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
So be sure to share it, like it, retweet it, send it around, put it up in a rocket, send it to the moon. I don't care what you do with it. Do whatever you want to with it. So we will see you on May the 14th in 2 weeks from all of us here at PopX. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Say goodbye, Team PopX.
Goodbye, Team PopX.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.